We're about to all die, though. I don't know if you know this. Did you hear about the black sarcophagus in Egypt?
Yes, I did. And I can't stop laughing at how silly people are for playing around with that thing.
I mean, I don't know if you know this, Aaron Bell, but this is exactly how my Moon Knight Apocalypse crossover story starts.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then it goes to the actual story because, you know, at the end, Apocalypse gets put into a sarcophagus and then eventually gets opened up thousands of years later, and literally all hell on Earth breaks loose because he is Apocalypse.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I think I saw, I don't remember where I saw the article, but the first thing I saw with the sarcophagus was that they found this thing and nobody knows exactly what it's for. And all I can say is I started yelling at the computer screen, do not try and open this, because I have seen way too many movies where this starts the end of the world.
I mean, it's a 6 foot long sarcophagus. It's six foot long and 9 foot wide, right?
Yeah.
And it weighs 30 tons. Like, there's some serious crap in there.
Yeah.
Do not open it. It'd be hilarious. Look, it's going to be hilarious if they open this and it's all like a teaser. Like, inside, there's a box and you open the box.
Oh, for some like.
And it's like a DVD player for a teaser trailer for like the new Avengers movie.
Yeah. It's like some weird viral marketing.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
You know what?
I'd be so down.
I don't think I would be happy with that. Because all this hype, I mean, listen, if we're going to have an apocalypse, let's do it right. Let's not have it turn out to be, you know, oh, here's The Mummy 2 starring Tom Cruise. Check out the new teaser trailer. We're premiering more at San Diego Comic-Con next weekend.
Yeah, that's not happening. That movie bombed.
I don't know. I watched parts of it once on TV.
How was it?
Honestly, I don't remember.
I thought about renting it just to see what it's about. How bad could it be?
See, that's the thing. Every time Tom Cruise has a movie that comes out, I say to myself, ugh, why is he still making movies? And then I see the movie, and I'm like, I really like that
movie. And it's awesome.
It keeps happening. So, I mean, I'm sure at some point I will sit down and watch it from start to finish, but I just don't know when.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Comic Talk Today, Aaron Bell.
Thank you for...
We've procrastinated long enough.
Yeah.
Long enough. You're my second guest this week. Does that make you feel special? You're number two.
It makes me feel slightly special.
I have brought my bidet with me.
Oh, God. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Come on now. You know, it's a different type of show, man. I don't want to do the same thing every day. You know what I mean? We need to bring on the crass every once in a while.
I know, but I have a feeling you're not going to ask me stuff that angers me again this time.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about Marvel Comics. Does that anger you?
Well, it depends on what Marvel Comics.
I mean, all Marvel Comics.
Then yes.
Oh, they all anger you.
No, not all of them.
We should just talk about Multiple Man for like 3 hours.
Oh my goodness, could we? Because
yes.
I love that book.
I just want to make Ronnie super angry.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't either.
I really don't get it. That
wait, we should preface this before we go on.
Okay.
There's a reason we're doing a Marvel show, and it's not that we're trying to take over the Ultimate Marvel podcast, although I guess we could with this episode. But we're not doing that. You and I, for some strange reason, have been reading a lot of Marvel books.
Yeah.
Why?
You know what? I think I figured it out.
Okay.
We have both been exposed to some kind of toxin that has caused us to lose our minds.
We came in contact with the black sarcophagus.
Yes, that's what it is.
See? We found the episode title. Just there like that. Bam. Yeah, you might be right. I don't know what it is, dude. I mean, I've been a Marvel fan, right? Like, what was I reading? I'm trying to think what book I read.
Moon Knight?
Well, obviously Moon Knight. I always read that. That's my Batman at Marvel. So I always read Moon Knight. I've read, I think the majority of Ms. Marvel. I'm probably like 2 issues behind on that. I really enjoy that book.
That's the one that was, well, that is, I guess, written by the person who's doing the new Wonder Woman?
Yeah, G. Willow Wilson.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't read any of it.
Oh, really? You should. It's really good. Nah. Matter of fact, your kids might enjoy it, too.
Nah, I'm like 90 issues behind, so I can't.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. I want to get into the whole Captain Marvel thing. I got some of the old issues of Captain Marvel, you know, the old Kree guy, right. The green guy.
Yeah, yeah.
With a terrible costume.
Is it really terrible?
It's terrible.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. He's got like the Saturn picture on his chest and the green mohawk.
Oh, so I guess I shouldn't show you my tattoos.
So I want to read that stuff, right? Because the Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel movie is coming out, I guess, next year, right?
Oh, and, yeah, I have seen.
So yeah, I want to get caught up because they just wrapped up filming.
Oh, okay. I guess I've seen pictures of the costume stuff then.
Yes. And this week, if we travel back in time, Aaron Bell, to this past Wednesday, July, what day would Wednesday be? July 18th. That's in the past to the listener. To us, it's in the future.
Yeah.
Because I'm bringing you on my time travel journey. The Life of Captain Marvel comes out. It's a 5-issue miniseries.
Okay.
And it's about the origin of, it looks like Carol Danvers. Now, I don't know if they're going to go all the way back to Captain Marvel and do like Ms. Marvel stuff and whatever, the whole Marvel family. Maybe. I don't know, but I'm interested. And I found it a little weird. I talked about this, man, this whole like recording on weird days has me all out of whack. I talked about it on Tuesday's episode, how I want to dive really deep into Captain Marvel now. Because I want to be prepared for the movie. Because I don't know a whole lot about Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
Right? I know she's involved in Alpha Flight. But, like, to me, Alpha Flight is, like, the Alpha Flight from the 90s. And there was no Captain Marvel there.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that she's not from my Alpha Flight. So not my Alpha Flight. So I too, am not very familiar. The only thing I really know is that a lot of people got mad online about something.
Well, what else is new?
Yeah.
Wait. Hold the press.
Yeah.
Somebody got mad about something?
Yeah. Have you heard about this? People get mad on the internet now?
Man, everyone's all pissed off today about the new She-Ra cartoon that's coming out on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't – why, dude? Like, that's not for you. Get over it. It's like you and I talked about the Thundercats. The new Thundercats is coming out.
Yep.
That's the Teen Titans Thundercats Go.
Yeah.
You know? That's not for us, dude.
No, it's not for us, but I'll end up watching it because my kids will be like, what is this Thundercat? And I'll be like, oh my goodness. And then I will show them the old one. They'll be like, this is terrible. And then they'll watch this new whatever version and be like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then I'll have to go see a movie.
Oh, I'm going to see that movie.
I guarantee I'm going to see that movie too.
Guarantee you will as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so she's involved in Alpha Flight, which I don't know how that happened because I missed that whole thing.
So
I don't know anything about Carol Danvers.
Is she Canadian?
I don't think so. I mean, Alpha Flight is.
Yeah. So why? I don't know.
Is she Canadian? Somebody should let me know.
Yeah, I probably know less about her than you do. Because I mean, in all honesty, with the exception of like maybe a quick storyline, like a mini series here or there. I have not read much Marvel since about 1995.
I'm trying to think when I really quit reading Marvel. And it was probably, you might be right, like 94, 95.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like for me, it was big when Jim Lee was on X-Men and Will Sportacio was on the other X-Men book.
Oh, he was the best.
He was the best. Dude, that Wetworks book, I wish it actually came out on time because that book was awesome. But nobody bought it because he put out like, dude, they announced Wetworks like 2 years in advance.
Yeah.
And everyone's like super excited. First issue comes out. It was freaking awesome. The art was incredible. And then like issue two took like 6 months to come out. And then like issue three was a year later. And by that point, nobody cared. And then I guess like Will Sportacio didn't have time to do the art because, you know, I mean, a year leeway, you know, that's not enough time. So they put some other artists in it and it was freaking awful. Awful. Anyways. But yeah, so probably about that time, because I think, so I dropped out of X-Men, I guess that would be, what, 91, right, when Jim Lee and everybody left. Was I reading X-Force? Yeah, it was 91, right? 91, 92?
No, I thought it was a little later than that.
No, could it be?
To be honest, I don't remember, but I could have sworn I was in high school when like Image really started to take hold.
All right, here we go. Founded 1992.
Oh, okay.
So 92. So I dropped out of most of my Marvel stuff then. I don't think there was a Moon Knight series at the time because oh god, who was the guy? Stephen Platt, the guy that did Prophet.
Sounds right.
He was, oh my god, his freaking Moon Knight is the freaking best. The best. He's got like veins on veins on veins. It's like, how jacked must Moon Knight be to have like veins popping out of veins over a costume? You know what I mean? But it was freaking awesome. I loved it. And who else was on there? There was somebody else that took over after Platt left. Oh man, that's killing me now. Finch was on after Stephen Platt left.
Oh, really?
Maybe it was around that time. Yeah, David Finch was on there.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly really became aware of his stuff, I guess with DC stuff.
Yeah, the Batman stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Finch is great. He's no Stephen Platt, but he's pretty close. Platt's hilarious. Platt's not even doing comics anymore. Apparently, like, Jim Lee was paying him like $500,000 per issue profit.
Lord.
Like, per issue. And the dude still couldn't put out the books on time. And they got into this whole big fight, and Stephen Platt's like, I'm out of here. And now he's doing, like, movie storyboarding or something.
Hmm.
Yeah. But that's probably around the time where I quit, dude. So, like, 94, 95. And, I mean, I'd pick up, like, a book here or there. But for the most part, I mean, once I came back really heavy on comics in, like, 2012, I started going back and trying to catch up with some of that stuff. Because I missed a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Marvel's pretty good now. I mean, we joke that they relaunch everything every 6 months, but they do pretty good at kind of resetting things where you don't need to go back and read all that stuff. Hmm. But it used to not be like that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, your favorite run, the Claremont stuff, like you could not jump in midway.
No, that went on forever.
Yeah, he was on there for what, like 8 or 9 years, and he did every X-Men book.
Yeah, and then some. He was doing, what, X-Men, X-Factor, Excalibur.
Yep.
He wrote
all of them.
Fantastic Four for a while.
Yep.
I don't think that was at the same time, but I don't remember. It very well may have been. He was like the Matt Kent of the era.
Yeah, yeah, he was everywhere. And the other one was, the ones that Claremont wasn't doing was John Byrne, right?
Yeah.
God, the good old days.
Yeah.
You know, John Byrne's got an unreleased X-Men story that he wants to do. Takes place after X-Men 164. I think I saw this like yesterday, the day before. And what's he called it? Elsewhen, I think it's what he called it.
Interesting.
And it takes place after 164 because apparently the reason that Jean Grey died after the whole Phoenix Saga thing was because Shooter made him kill her.
Huh.
But they didn't want to kill her. And so he's got this whole Elseworld story. He's got like 8 or 9 pages illustrated and everything called Elsewhen, which is basically like the story he wanted to tell if Jean hadn't died.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And you know what that in a weird way sort of reminds me of? The new Cable series.
Oh, yeah.
That each issue takes place basically after or like right around another issue from way back when.
Yep. I love that series.
I think I like it.
You do like it, goddammit.
Well, this is the thing. I am reading a bunch of, like, a whole handful of Marvel now. It's, like, up to 6 or 7 books. And that one, like, conceptually, I really enjoy that one. Because it's, like, you know, the events of this book take place, you know, at right before New Mutants 96. And I'm just like, Oh, crap, now I got to go grab New Mutants 96 and reread this for the first time in 30 years. And then you read it, and then you read the new thing. You're like, oh, okay, I like how they're tying stuff together. I get it. You know, it's kind of cool. But overall, I don't know. I think there's only one more issue. It's a 4-issue series.
5 issues. Yeah, 159, I think, is the last one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, so that's the next one that comes out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and that's the last one that came out yesterday.
Oh, is it? Wait, it came out?
As of recording.
Oh.
Releasing this? Yes.
Yes. I read it already. man, did I? Yeah, never mind. I'm subscribed to that, so I'm not worried about it. Yeah, I like that series. And, of course, it's Zach and Lonnie, whom I love. So, you know, I pick up whatever they write.
Yeah.
Their Bloodshot's going to be pretty interesting too.
Yeah, I think that the reason why I started getting back into Marvel is because you guys would not stop talking about them.
Which is funny because now Ronnie is like hating on so much Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's maybe like the stuff that I'm excited about and you're excited about that he doesn't like. Cause like we've talked a lot about Multiple Man. Yeah. What's another one that we like? Domino.
Domino's so good.
New Mutants, Dark Souls. Yep, that's really good. I don't know if you're reading the X books, but those are really interesting.
Based off of some of the other stuff that he's doing now, I picked up, I guess, the last issue of Astonishing X-Men. Is it Astonishing? The one that Rosenberg wrote. Yeah.
Yep.
I ignored apparently the first 12 or so issues. Ronnie's like, no, you don't have to read that because he literally, at 13, he just starts over. So I'm like, all right. So I picked up 13 and I started reading it and I'm completely lost. I like that one a lot. And based off of your recommendation earlier this morning, I picked up
X-23. Nice. Did you read it?
I did read it.
What'd you think?
I don't know.
That's what I said. Let's continue this thought. No. Because that's exactly the thought that I had when I first started reading it.
Yeah. Okay. So I dropped out of Marvel in the early mid-90s. So I don't have a lot of experience with X-23 as a character in the comics. So I'm reading this and I'm trying to get into, you know, the whole thing with her and I guess her sister, sister, Honey Badger.
Yeah, she's great.
So I don't know her at all, the sister. So I'm like, all right, this will be interesting. So as I'm reading it and I think I like it, but then it gets to those weird Emma Frost clone quintuplets that are triplets, yep, but are still quintuplets.
Yes.
Now are about to be quadruplets, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know them at all. So I'm like, you know when you read a book that has characters that like everybody knows?
Yes, I do. And you're like gold balls.
Yeah. And you're supposed to, you know, I guess if you knew the whole history, you'd be like, oh, this is so awesome that this is all happening. Like, I have none of that, so I don't know yet how I feel, if that makes any sense to you.
Interesting. Yes, it does. No, I'm with you, because I had the same thing. So when I got really big back into Marvel was during the IVX, the Inhumans versus X-Men, which everyone seems to hate for some reason except me and Michael Myers. And I don't understand why. Like, it's really good.
Yeah,
I understand, like, maybe people just hate the Inhumans.
Maybe. Weren't they trying to change mutants, that mutants aren't mutants and mutants are something else? Is that whole thing?
Yeah, it's that. Well, kind of. So because of the fact that Fox had the rights to X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Marvel.
And not Disney. Perlmutter said, we're writing them off the damn books. Same thing with Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're writing them off the books. They're done. So find replacements. And there was no replacement really for the Fantastic Four. But with the X-Men, they replaced them with the Inhumans. And it was weird reading some of that stuff because, like, they were treating them exactly like the X-Men. I mean, the origin is a little different, right, because they're genetically engineered by the Kree. But outside of that, like, it's the freaking X-Men the way they were doing it.
Right.
And it was different than the stuff that came before. Who wrote that series? Oh, man. It was illustrated by Jay Lee.
Really?
Yes. Inhumans, Jay Lee. Paul Jenkins wrote that one.
Well,
it is freaking phenomenal.
I may have to look that.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. It came out in 2013.
Is it only six issues?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of what I thought of in terms of the Inhumans. But then with this whole thing about the X-Men going away, they just changed them. And now they were kind of more like the X-Men. And to me, it wasn't as cool. But I enjoyed the event. And, you know, I came into it and freaking Gold Balls was in there. Right. And I'm like, who the hell is Gold Balls? Like, are we running out of mutant names and we have to call people Gold Balls and his powers? He can control gold balls and throw them at people. Like, come on, guys.
Wait a minute.
You can't be serious.
I think I'm looking at a different Inhumans versus X-Men.
IVX, yeah.
Because I'm seeing written by Lemire and Charles Soule.
Charles Soule did most of
Kenneth Rockford. So what's the Jay Lee one?
Jay Lee is Inhumans by Paul Jenkins and Jay Lee.
Oh, okay, just Inhumans.
Just Inhumans. Yeah, IVX was the whole thing where they were gonna like even get rid of the X-Men even further, right? So the Terranit was basically killing all the mutants, and the ones that were left were, like, sterile, so they couldn't make new mutants. And, of course, the Terrigen Mist is what converts people from humans into inhumans, right? So if you have the inhuman gene and you go through the Terrigen Mist and you have abilities, then your abilities come out. Whereas with mutants, it's a little bit different. And so that was basically the whole thing. And I love the ending of it. They killed Cyclops in the end. And they also killed Gull Balls.
Come on.
And they killed Multiple Man. That's when Multiple Man died.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense now with the comic.
Yeah.
Which I think they reference when who brings him in? I think it's Colossus or whatever when he brings him to the mansion. They're like, yeah, we thought you were dead and blah blah blah. And he's like, well, I am dead. Yeah, that's how that happened. And it was actually really good. Like he basically sacrificed himself to try to save other mutants. And yeah, really really well done, dude. I love IVX. Look, I don't care. Hashtag unpopular opinions. Okay, if you don't like it, too bad. IVX is great.
Well. I may or may not have just ordered the trade on Comixology.
Yeah,
and
you
by,
did.
By ordered, I mean I just bought the trade on Comixology.
But yeah, the whole X-Men side of the universe has been pretty interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Lemire. Lemire was doing – which book was he doing? Maybe it's just called X-Men.
It was Extraordinary X-Men.
Extraordinary, that's right.
Yeah, because I read that. I tried getting back into a bunch of Marvel stuff. When Lemire was writing Moon Knight, I read that, and I read his X-Men, and he did something else that I was reading. I forget what it was.
I'm sure he did. He does a million books.
Not Hawkman. What am I talking about? Hawkeye. I started that, but I was like, you know what? I just don't care. And so that one I kind of noped out of. But
Hawkeye was interesting because it had a great run, and then the run kind of ended because they were rebooting it with Lemire writing.
Right.
But the final like issue or two of the previous run hadn't come out with the new books came out.
So Lemire's run came out before the other one ended?
Yes.
So is it a DC event?
No. It was one of those things, man, where you know there it seemed like maybe creative differences, I would assume.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did they eventually come out?
Yeah, it ended up coming out. Like 6 months after.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Lemire X-Men book was interesting at first, and then it was like, hey, we're going to start crossing over with Guardians of the Galaxy or something. With the Black Mirror stuff with Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord, and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm not reading whatever book this crosses over with. So I said, I will give this another issue. And if I can follow the story, I'll keep going. And if not, I'm just done.
See, that's the one part of the Marvel Universe I just can't get into. I can't get into Guardians of the Galaxy. They have the Rocket Raccoon book, which I got just because of the art. I think it was
that the Adam Gorham book.
Yeah, the Adam Gorham book.
Yeah, I got that one too. I read a little bit, but I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I just got it because of Adam.
Yep.
They had a Groot book, which I did not pick up. I just don't care. And you know, I mentioned Kitty Pryde. That whole thing was really weird to me. And it didn't interest me enough to go and want to find out why Kitty Pryde is with the Guardians.
Yep. That was right. That was basically where I was coming from.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe part of that is like an old man thing, right? Like I just want Kitty with the X-Men. I don't want her somewhere else.
See, I didn't care so much about that. For me, it was if you're not going to give me enough information when you're starting up a story about why things are the way they are without me having to go back and read who knows how many other issues of whatever, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They tried a bunch of stuff. I think they had Venom Space Knight. Wasn't he in Guardians of the Galaxy? That was weird. Kitty Pryde. Who else is on there? The Thing. He was part of the Guardians.
I know Iron Man showed up in like 90% of anything Guardians that I tried reading. And I was like, why is Iron Man surprised. Always in this?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. But then it kind of went back and, you know, they rebooted the X-Men book. So you had like X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue. Now you've X-Men got X-Men Red. Red.
Yeah.
Yep. And then this weekend they're announcing X-Men Black, which that one I'm excited about. I don't know who's writing it. My assumption based on reading X-Men Blue is that maybe they're going to have Cullen Bunn do it because he's doing the Blue book.
Okay.
And I read issue 31 yesterday or this morning maybe, and it's really interesting. Like Magneto's in there now, and there's this whole thing where Jean Grey read his mind, and they're trying to find Magneto because Magneto is out to kill Emma Frost. And you know me and Emma Frost, we're like I don't know, chocolate and vanilla. Like we taste really good together. You know what I mean? So I'm super excited for that book because I love Emma Frost. You know what? That might be one of the reasons I liked IVX, because she was in there and she was freaking badass.
Oh yeah.
And she saved a day in that book. Now, granted, maybe she got Cyclops killed. That could be possible.
But you know what though? Was it like whiny, annoying Cyclops, or was it the very few times Cyclops was kind of cool?
No, it's the whiny, annoying Cyclops.
Yeah, so whatever. Letters.
That's where they had to kill him.
Yeah, it happens.
You know, we've got the cool Cyclops is over on X-Men Blue, the young Cyclops.
So the X-Men Blue, X-Men Gold, X-Men Red, whatever, I'm assuming they're just different teams of X-Men?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like in the 90s when they split Uncanny and X-Men into the two books and there was like the Storm team and the Cyclops team?
Yes, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the gold book is basically being led by Kitty Pryde and Colossus. The blue book is the original five X-Men. The red book is being led by another Jean Grey that was the Phoenix Jean Grey that got rid of the Phoenix Force, and now it's just Jean Grey.
Okay. So the original five X-Men on the blue team, you said?
Yes.
Now, is that like young X-Men, or is that them present day?
No, it's the young X-Men. They're the X-Men from the 60s.
But now?
Now they got sent to the future.
And do they interact with their present selves?
Huh. Yes.
Okay, that sounds kind of interesting.
It is really interesting. At first I thought it was kind of kooky, but I think X-Men Blue is my favorite out of the bunch. Because I think it really tells a story like a proper X-Men book should.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's something that was missing some of the other ones. Like they had a Generation X book that I think is canceled now. And it was not good. And I know you read Generation X back in the day. Was that one of your favorite X-Men books back in the day?
No.
You were a New Mutants guy.
I was a New Mutants guy.
Yeah. See, I love Generation X. That had, oh God, what's his name? The guy with the exploded face, whatever his name is. He was awesome. I want to keep saying like Exodus, but I know Exodus is a different guy. Anyways, he was there. Who else was in Generation X? Skin? Skin is the best. Like, talk about mutants with terrible powers.
The blonde guy, right?
Skin?
Oh, no. That's the guy with, like, all the extra skin flaps.
Yeah,
right?
The extra skin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a superpower.
It was a guy. There was
his superpower, he's got extra skin.
Chamber was on the team?
Chamber, that's the guy with the blowed up face. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't remember who else.
Well, in the new book they had, Kitty Pryde was kind of the lead because she's taken over the mansion, basically. She's taking over Professor X's role.
Oh, right.
So she's kind of the lead, but like Jubilee was in it, Chamber was in it, and there were a bunch of like mutants I'd never heard of. And it was weird, dude, because like it was definitely not geared towards people that read Generation X back in the day. Hmm. It's very much like an X-Men book geared towards a younger audience, I would say.
Yeah, I want to say Generation X sort of showed up towards the end of when I was reading Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Like they came in the early, I don't know, maybe like around 320 or so of X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know Ronnie and I were having this discussion, and I know that I went at least up to 350 because I remember the like semi holofoil cover thing for that issue.
Yep.
But I don't remember reading anything else around then. So, yeah, I mean, they were probably, I guess, a year or two before I stopped reading X-Men. So I never really got into it much.
Makes sense. Yeah, I think this was right around the time where I quit reading most of the X books. So like 94, 95. But I really dug it. I really dug the team. It was, let's see if I can find it. Banshee, Chamber, Emma Frost, Gaia, Husk. Oh, Husk was great too. Jubilee, M, Mondo, Penance, Skin, Cinch, and Leech. Yep. But see, most of these characters weren't in the new iteration. And like I said, there was a lot of new characters. It was like a high school drama with the X-Men.
Mm.
You know, and you would think that it would fit, right? Because I think that's what some of the best X-Men stories are just like soap opera drama kind of things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just didn't work for me. I think it was just geared to a different demographic. Basically, I'm saying I'm too old. So I didn't enjoy it that much. And I was really sad when I read it because I was really looking forward to it. But it just meh. There's this whole thing with Jubilee because Jubilee had a baby.
Yeah, listen.
So like,
it, once Jubilee, she can't go if on, she shows up on a cover of a book, I'm automatically not getting that book.
You're making Rob Krieger very upset right now.
I mean, I got to be honest, and it's not it's not because I only saw her on the cartoon. I've not liked her in the comics since she showed up before the cartoon, Rob. So.
Yeah, I think I've taken Rob's X-Men fan card away from him because he's never seen the animated series, and he's going to have to deal with that.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Even though he does own a full run of X-Men.
Oh, yeah?
He does. I think he completed it like 2 years ago.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was getting close. It was some of the early ones were hard to – I was collecting, they were very pricey. I think the earliest I have is 15.
There's so much that I would want to get, but then I can't buy Batman books.
Yeah. You know what, though? They've been putting out like X-Men hardcover omnibus versions that I
– Really?
Oh, yeah. I think the first two are out of print or something, but it pretty much – I want to say they started right around giant size, and there were, you know, like two volumes that had like, I don't know, 70-something total issues in them. But then there's also – like Claremont stuff, there's like three volumes of stuff that he's done. That's like, I need to own these. And every time I like in stock trades, we'll have it on there. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to get this. And I quick look and then it's like, you know, out of stock and it's never there again. Or if it does show up, it's so ridiculously expensive on like Amazon that I'm like, I'm not spending $140 to get this book.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that. I might have to check that out.
But yeah, I wish I could get those because that would be nice to have. I mean, because you know me and my hardcovers.
Yeah. I'm looking at them now. They've got them for $61 hardcovers. That's a good price, dude.
Yeah, that's not bad. Is that on in-stock?
On Amazon. $61.16. Because why not?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But yeah, so that's the X-Men and. I mean, there's other books that I'm still reading. Like, of course, you know, we talked about Moon Knight. I'm still reading that one. I think I'm like two issues behind in Moon Knight also.
Yeah. Who's writing Moon Knight now?
Is it Bemis or Landis?
I'm not sure. I stopped. I think I stopped right before Lemire stopped.
Who took over? Well, yeah, no. Lemire's run ended and then the new writer took over.
Oh, did it start back with the number one or did the numbering continue?
No, it went to legacy numbering.
Oh.
So it started with like 180 something.
Yeah, see, that's – I like that they're doing that because I appreciate that they're doing like a history kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think some of the other – I've seen a couple covers of Marvel books that might be like, you know, issue 6, but then underneath it says legacy like 492 or something, I guess, because they're dividing it in volumes like that. Like I like that. For me, I'm a huge fan of high number comics because it, in a weird way, it makes it feel special.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
But at the same time, I mean, like, what's a number at this point?
But,
you know?
But, I mean, I wish – yeah, you're right. I don't care about the numbering, but I wish they would, like, make up their minds on what they're going to do, right? Because some books are legacy numbers and some are not.
Right.
Like, if you're going to do legacy number, then that's fine, but just do everything legacy numbering.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, with Action Comics that, you know, I mean, hit 1,000 issues. That's kind of cool. And Detective is, you know, that'll hit 1,000 next year.
Right.
Right.
But then you have other stuff. I mean, Spider-Man's got to be in the 800 somethings.
802 was Dan Slott's last issue.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I mean, it's got a ways to go, but it's still, I mean, like 800 issues of a comic book. That's pretty awesome. If you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it, you know, looking back on it, you're like, wow, this book has been around for so many years that this is just crazy. But at the same time, you know, look at other companies like Valiant that's just like, all right, here's a 4-issue Bloodshot series, and now here's an 8-issue Bloodshot series that takes place right after. And now here's another 12-issue series that takes place after that one. Here's another 6 issues that takes place after that. And then here's a random one-shot that just kind of takes place. You know, we're like numbering really, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, since you're talking about Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man came out with Nick Spencer.
Yes.
Did you happen to pick that up?
Yeah, didn't we talk about this?
Did we? Oh, well, kind of. I mean, we didn't, like, talk about it.
Oh, right. Well, you asked what I thought, and I told you, and then you asked...
That's right.
You asked why I felt that way, and I thought...
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I think something tells me that people that read Spider-Man 40 years ago are really going to like the book. Because, I mean, to me, it almost seems like that, like, mid-80s Spider-Man, right?
I've never been a Spider-Man guy, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, see, I haven't either. But I don't know, like, that era is not my favorite. It just seems, like, extremely wordy and overcomplicated.
But isn't that Nick Spencer?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So I think people that like that era of the book are going to really enjoy the book. I just, it didn't, I don't know. Like, it was fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt. It was okay.
Yeah. It's not something that I wouldn't spend $4.99 on every month, though. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I like the art.
You know what? I'm a big Ryan Otley fan because, like, Invincible is that's my book. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't think that I liked it so much in this setting.
So let me ask you, because you've read a lot more Invincible than I did. Did you feel like his style was different in Spider-Man?
No, it's the exact same.
Really? For some reason, I just remember his style being, I guess, maybe flatter in Invincible. And maybe it's more a coloring thing.
It could be. And it also could be how much of Invincible have you read? Because it was a different artist at the very beginning.
Oh, I got to like 110 or something.
Okay. Yeah. Then you saw his stuff.
Yeah. No, I
was
going to
say, if you've only read like the first few issues, it wasn't even him on the art. But to me, I mean, anytime someone made a facial expression or the way he drew some people, you're looking and you're like, oh, okay, you know, that's Mark's dad. And oh, okay, there's, you know, Thrag in the background.
Sure.
You know, but I don't know. And I picked this book up. As much as I don't like Spider-Man, I picked this up because I really like Nick Spencer and I really like Ryan Otley.
I agree.
So I'm like, you know what? I will give, if the two of them are together on a book, I don't care that I don't like the character. I will give it a shot. And, you know, meh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and see, to me, I think we might have talked about this on Discord. To me, Nick Spencer fits this book better than he did on like Captain America. But I really like Captain America when he was doing it.
Right. Yeah, like, I think the reason why this fell short for me was I didn't find the humor funny.
Yep.
Like it didn't hit for me. And I know Spencer can write funny because The Fix is freaking hilarious. I don't know if you're reading that one.
I'm not now, but I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That book is just completely ludicrous. But this, like, you know, I get he's trying to make the jokes and it's just not, it wasn't for me.
Yep.
And I also thought this was another instance of I don't understand why characters are acting the way they are towards each other because I haven't read anything and there was no explanation as to why everyone hates Spider-Man.
I mean, they explain why.
Where?
It was because of the Doc Ock writing his graduate thesis.
Did they say that in here?
Yeah, they said it in there.
I don't remember
that
at all.
Yeah, they said it a few times. When he got fired, they said that. I think it was part of the newspaper story. And then when he went to talk to Aunt May, Aunt May's like, well, I'm really disappointed that you let Doc Ock write your graduate thesis. Yeah, they mentioned it. Which, I mean, that was a good callback, right? Because that's back to Superior Spider-Man, which I really love.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for the new Doc Ock book that's coming out. That I think they're announcing that this weekend, too. They put out teasers. The Superior Octopus.
Oh, yeah. I do see it now.
Yeah.
The problem of campus plagiarism.
Yep. There you go.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, here's the weird thing about the Spider-Man book. They basically reset the book to a time before what Dan Slott was doing. But they mentioned stuff that Dan Slott did.
Hmm.
Right? So, like, for example, the Doc Ock stuff, when Doc Ock took over as Spider-Man, they mentioned that. When he's talking to Aunt May, she's like, I don't care that, like, your company failed. And that was a callback to that, right? Because when Dan Slott was doing it, he had that whole thing where Peter ran – he was like the new Tony Stark basically.
Okay.
Right. He had a company and, you know, they made weapons and armor and technology and stuff like that. So it was like a Stark Industries. And that I did not like too much. Like there were things I enjoyed about that book, but it seemed too Iron Man-y to me, right? And there was already an Iron Man book that was phenomenal. The Bendis Iron Man is incredible.
Bendis? I'm not familiar with who that is.
Supposedly he's coming somewhere. I don't know. He might have arrived. It's just what I've been hearing for months. I don't know. But they mention all that stuff. But like now Peter seems a lot younger, right? Like he seems fresh out of college, maybe.
Couldn't, yeah.
He was kind of involved with Mary Jane, but then they broke up and now maybe they're going to get back together. Aunt May looks like 50 years younger. You know, like there's a lot of weird stuff. And it took me a little off balance because I was expecting some kind of explanation, but there was none. And I mean, ultimately I didn't care that there was none, but I kind of wish there would have, you know, and it's only one issue. Maybe we'll get some of that stuff, but I don't know. It's probably not one I'm going to continue.
Yeah. I mean, I might give it a second issue based off of the creative team.
Yeah.
But if that issue doesn't like really wow me, I'm not going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about one that wows me. And I think it may have wowed you.
Okay.
And that's Venom.
Nope.
Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman. You have not read Venom?
Nope. No, sir.
No, sir, you have not read it? Or no, sir, you did not like it?
No, sir, I did not. Either of them, I guess. I don't like Spider-Man. I don't like Spider-Man characters. I don't like Avengers characters. Like, I just never got into any of it.
Yeah.
So I never, I didn't even pick up the Venom book. And I know everybody loves Donny Cates, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, not everybody loves Venom, apparently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Venom hate nowadays.
Is there?
Even though, oh yeah. Even though it was like the number two best-selling book like 2 months ago.
Well, damn it, now I'm going to have to read it just when I get lumped.
Here's the thing. I think Donny Cates, what he's doing with these Marvel books is what Cullen Bunn does with his books, right? He's telling superhero stories, but at the core, they're not superhero stories. They're horror stories.
Hmm.
And I know that when Ronnie had Cullen on Ultimate Marvel a couple weeks ago, they talked about this, that Cullen likes to do stealth horror, right? Where it's like horror themes, but if you just want a superhero story, like that's what you're getting.
Right.
Right. And I think that's what Donny Cates is doing with a lot of his Marvel stuff. Like, you know, Venom is very much a horror book.
Oh, yeah.
He's always
sort of been that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But the plot of this is almost, all right, not to go to a not great movie, but did you ever watch Blade 3?
I know I have, but I don't. It's been a long time.
It's the one with, who's in it? Jessica Biel. It's like Blade and the Blade Force.
Oh.
It's got Jessica Biel and the other guy. The really annoying guy.
Deadpool.
And Deadpool, yeah, that guy. He's got Deadpool in it. And the villain is Captain Cold from the Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
What's his name?
Wentworth Miller?
No, the other guy. Isn't Wentworth... Oh, yeah, no. Captain Cold is Wentworth. The other guy, what's his name?
Who, the one that's...
Oh, man, Mike Myers is listening to this. He's like, God damn it, I love the freaking... Yeah, there's the fire guy.
Oh, Heatwave? That's,
Heatwave.
I don't know what his name is in real life.
Well, anyways, he's the bad guy. He plays the god of the vampires, basically.
Yeah, he like murdered the president's brother or something, and he's in jail.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that one too. That was a good movie. What was that one called?
Prison Break?
No. Well, yeah, Prison Break was great. No, the one where he goes, he's like a stockbroker, and like he loses all his money. And he just starts going on a killing rampage.
Oh, no, I never saw that one.
Oh, are you serious? Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's super violent. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, he's the bad guy. But the plot is kind of like that. Matter of fact, if you treat it like as a vampire story, then it's basically the plot of Blade 3.
Interesting.
And I love the Blade movies, so whatever. Hashtag unpopular opinions continue. Blade 3 was fantastic.
Listen, a lot of people like those Blade movies.
God, I've seen him so many times, dude. So way too many times, more than I want to admit. But yeah, it's really interesting. The art's great. You know, Ronnie keeps saying it's like the Exo Manowar Venom because he talks a lot to the symbiote and all this. But like, I mean, that makes sense, right?
Always like any Venom thing I ever remember reading, which is basically whenever, what was the red one? Carnage?
Carnage, yeah.
Whenever Carnage showed up originally, I somehow got roped into reading a bunch of Spider-Man stuff with Carnage. Maybe was Todd McFarlane still doing it back then, or did he leave it?
I think he did.
Okay, that's probably why.
Yep. Yeah, I like Carnage back in the day. That was Uber 90s.
Yeah.
Uber 90s. That was the... Oh, God, dude. Marvel in the 90s was the best. Because you had, like, freaking Carnage. You had Death's Head. You remember Death's Head?
Which one is that? That's,
The space bounty hunter. He had, like, a skull with, like, giant horns coming out of it. He looked kind of like a robot, but he was not a robot. But he kind of was a robot. I don't know. Anyway, Death's Head. It was part of, Marvel. Not Marvel. Was it Marvel 2? God. So Marvel tried to do an imprint in England in the, like, late 80s, early 90s. And I think Death's Head came out of that. Cause they had a Marvel 2 also, which had, like, Peter Parker's daughter, which I think she's now part of, like, regular continuity at Marvel. She was in there. There was, like, a little boy Hulk, which I guess is maybe where they got the idea for the Amadeus Cho Hulk. There were, like, some interesting stuff. It didn't do very well. It's when Shooter was trying to, like, do all these kind of different things. You had the new universe, you had Marvel Knights, you had Marvel 2, a lot of stuff. People don't remember this stuff.
Wasn't it just called Marvel UK?
Marvel UK, yes. But that was a different one, because there was also Marvel 2, there was New Universe, and then, of course, Marvel Knights, which Marvel Knights was my favorite, and it's really weird, because that's where they put, like, Daredevil and Punisher and stuff, which were books that nobody was buying at the time, nobody gave a crap, and so they couldn't have them in the main Marvel universe. They created its own universe. It was, when it started off, it was basically Elseworlds.
Interesting.
And eventually they did so well that they brought that whole atmosphere into the 616. So, man, now I want to go back and read Marvel Knights.
You know what? That's the problem with a lot of the, you know, with the New Mutants book now. There's, like, the backup pages with Warlock.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I love Warlock so much. And now I have to go back and, like, dig out all these old comic books so that I can read stuff again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, it's just, I don't have time for this, but I want to do it so bad. So if the comic book industry can just go on hold for, like, 2 or 3 months so I can catch up on everything I have that's newish, and then I have enough time to go back and reread my entire New Mutants run,
uh-huh,
that would be terrific.
See? Now you know how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like every week I'm like, yes, I'm finally going to get caught up on some stuff. And then I look and I'm like, oh, crud. I'm getting 29 more books this week, so I guess I'm just going to fall more behind on everything.
Well, see, the good thing is now I'm mostly caught up on stuff. Mm. For the majority of the books I'm caught up on, there's a few that I'm like 2 or 3 behind. But that gives me time to read other stuff. Like I started reading The Invisibles by Grant Morrison. And that's a thing, let me tell you. I don't know if you ever read that.
I'm unfamiliar with this Morrison fellow.
Yeah, you never heard of him?
No. Is that...
He may have done a thing or two.
Young guy,
he's
old guy.
He's the best! Dude, did you watch that video I put on the Discord channel? The Philosophy of Grant Morrison?
You know what? I saw that you put it up. I think I was at work. And I was like, I'll watch it when I get home. And I don't think I ever did.
All right, you need to watch it. It's on the Wisecrack YouTube channel. The Philosophy of Grant Morrison. It's freaking phenomenal. Phenomenal. Because it relates the way he sees the world into how he writes his books and the types of stories that he writes. And, like, you read some of the stuff that he does, and it's just, like, way out there. And you're like, what the hell? But when they explain, like, his life philosophy, then you're like, okay, now I understand why he did this in this book.
Is it because it's fantastic. Just always on LSD?
Yes.
Because that's pretty much the only way I can explain.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have this Earth, but it's all going to be bunny versions of all of the heroes. Oh.
Well,
okay.
They talk a lot about his Justice League run.
Okay.
Because in the Justice League, he tried to do the whole the Justice League are basically gods on Earth kind of thing, and how that relates to his philosophy. And it was fascinating because he's got, like, this weird viewpoint where, like, we as the readers are part of the comic book, and like we're like there's like a pyramid, and we're like on the center stage, right? So like at the bottom level, you have comic books, right? So you have stories that people write, and that's like its own world, like it's a living, breathing world that we as readers experience. And then like above us, there's like this like holographic alien five-dimensional race that basically like writes stories about us to tell their kids. And it's like super meta. It's freaking awesome, dude. You gotta watch that video.
All right, I will look for it when we're done.
I think it's like 10 or 15 minutes long. It's really good. I think they've done two, so just look for the newest one.
Okay.
Grant Morrison. God, I can't wait till he writes Green Lantern. Anyways.
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, you're gonna read the shit out of it.
Listen, it's Green Lantern, so I'm gonna read it, but I don't want this Venditti run to end, man. That's so.
Well, you got what, two issues left? It's fine. You got Hawkman. He's doing fucking awesome on Hawkman.
I know. Hawkman is great, but, you know, Hal Jordan's really good.
Yes, it is. All right, so you don't read Avengers, I'm assuming.
No.
But you do read Justice League.
Yep, because Justice League is good.
Same exact book.
It's not the same exact book.
Same exact book.
No. First of all right. Who in the Avengers is Batman? No one. Game over.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. But it's the same book. Dude, it's the same exact storyline, I guarantee you. Like, I'm reading this, and it's funny, because I think issue two of both of them came out the same week. And I'm like, did I read the same book twice?
So there are these four giant space monster...
Yes.
...of different emotions that are making people do stuff, and they're trying to destroy, and they have to assemble new teams of weird combinations of people together.
Basically.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar.
The Celestials are the main thing in the Avengers book.
Of course.
And, cause you know, you need to have giant beings.
Always.
Okay. So the Celestials are there. But no, actually, it's really good. I'm sticking with it because, like, when I first started reading Avengers, I was kind of like, okay, this is good, but I'm really confused. Like, what is happening? Because, I guess some of the stuff in Avengers tied into the Marvel Legacy one-shot. It tied into the, the Avengers 1 million BC or whatever, which I did not read.
I remember that happening, but I never read it.
Yeah, and that's a big part of this book. Cause like Odin's in it. So you get flashbacks of like the Avengers 1 million BC, which had Odin. It had like the original Black Panther. It had, oh God, not Dormammu. What's the eye of what
Cthulhu?
That Doctor Strange has? Yeah, let's go with that. It's got Cthulhu in it.
I just know my kid played Terraria or whatever, and there's like the eye of Cthulhu is this thing they're always yelling about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Got to teach him young.
You do. But now it's getting really interesting because they introduced the Eternals into the book.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think. I think the last Eternals book was probably like in the mid-80s. It's not a thing that's really been around because I think, at least for me, from what I remember, a lot of the story kind of overlaps with the origin story for like the Inhumans, for example. I don't think it's the Kree. I think they might have been created by the Skrulls, maybe, or like there's definitely a Celestials connection. I can't remember what it is. But they're in the book, and I think that's interesting because Marvel's going to be doing an Eternals movie. And so I want to kind of get in on the ground floor so when I go watch the Eternals movie, I understand what the hell's happening.
See, I'm completely different. Like, all these characters, like all the Avengers-related characters and everything, I don't know what it is. I just don't really care. So I'll see the movies eventually, and like I just basically go in like, all right, just a popcorn flick, so I don't care that I don't know the background, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
So,
but you don't think with a franchise like, we'll say, The Eternals, which I don't know how much you've read, but I guarantee you 99% of people probably don't even know who The Eternals are.
Right.
It's interesting to have him in the story, right? So you give people something to be interested in. Like, Avengers, I would understand. Like, who doesn't know the Avengers, right? Or like Spider-Man or Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those characters, everybody knows who they are. But if you go and do like, I don't know, a Ms. Marvel movie, or like, you know, we talked about the Captain Marvel movie. Like, I feel like you need some kind of context in some way. You know what I mean? I mean, if it's a good, well-done movie, you don't need that, right? But myself as a comic fan, I want to have that in the background, right? I don't expect the same kind of story to be told in the movie. In fact, I prefer the opposite, where they don't retell a comic book story in a movie. But I want to know who these people are before. I don't know. Maybe I read too much Grant Morrison, dude. You know what? Maybe that's what it is. I want to know who these people are, because these are like, if you have a well-written comic book, these are living, breathing characters. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, the Guardians of the Galaxy that I grew up with are not the Guardians of the Galaxy in the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
It's very true.
I mean, well, I guess Yondu's there, but, like, who else is there? Starhawk and, you know, what was the guy's name? Major Victory?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. I don't know.
That was a nice callback, by the way.
What?
The Major Victory stuff.
Yeah, man. It's all good stuff.
Dug that.
But, like, I enjoy, for some reason, though, those movies, Daryl's going to be screaming and throwing his radio. I like those movies. The first Guardians of the Galaxy movie is probably, besides Winter Soldier, my favorite of the Marvel movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's one of, I think, three of them that I actually own a physical copy on, like, Blu-ray.
I might give you that, dude. I've seen that movie a lot of times. Especially the first one. I think the second one I only saw like two or three times. But the first one, dude, my God, my 7-year-old, she wanted to watch it like every freaking day for like 6 months.
Yeah.
Like as soon as it went streaming. And of course we went to see it in theaters. Actually, she wants to watch Black Panther again, which is kind of odd because I tricked her into seeing Black Panther. She wanted to see Peter Rabbit. And I do not want to watch Peter Rabbit. I want to see Black Panther. She's like, no, let's go watch Peter Rabbit. And so I looked at the trailer for Peter Rabbit and I was like, nope, you can't watch that. It's not for kids. And I don't know if it was or not. It seemed a little, I'm going to tell you, that trailer seemed pretty adult to me.
Listen, I had to go see that movie because of my kids. That movie is not for anybody.
But yeah, so I tricked her to see Black Panther, and now that it's on Netflix, she wants to see it. So maybe I will again. I don't know. I don't mind. And I like that my kids want to watch those movies, you know? Even Teen Titan Go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. My wife and I showed my kids the first Guardians of the Galaxy because my oldest had, like, all the Lego sets, mm-hmm. and he was super into Groot and Rocket Raccoon. And he was Rocket Raccoon 2 years in a row for Halloween. So I'm like, you know what? If you want to see the movie, I mean, it's a little violent for him, but whatever. It's cartoon violence. Yeah. So we showed it to him, and he loved it. And then the second one came out, and he's like, oh, I want to go see this in the theater. And my wife and I are like, you know what? You're still, you know, you're only, I guess he was, whenever that one came out, he was probably about 7. And we're like, we're going to go see it first, and we'll let you know. And then we're like, all right, you know. Well, you can see it. But since that one's on Netflix too, my kids like all the time are like, can we watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2 again? I'm like, yeah, sure. Whatever, may as well.
Uh-huh. See, I wish they did that with like Batman Superman or something, you know? Like the only DC movie they want to watch over and over is freaking Suicide Squad.
Really?
And I like Suicide Squad, but there's only so many times I can see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we showed my kids, they wanted to watch it was right around when Justice League was coming out. They're like, we want to go see Justice League. I was like, okay, before you see Justice League, you need to see all the other movies. And they're like, why? You know, because kids. I'm like, trust me, you need to see the story because it's not going to make any sense. And they're like, all right, I guess, whatever. So we showed them Man of Steel, and they did not like Man of Steel. The whole thing, shame on them. It's not that they didn't like it, because my kids now will talk about how awesome the movie was, but the scene with the tornado, my oldest like literally ran out of the room crying because he was so upset.
Wow.
I was like, this is what's upsetting you? I was like, not the fact that there's this guy coming down that's threatening to kill the entire Earth if they don't give him Superman, but like his dad dies and you're crying. I'm like, all right, whatever. So at the end of the movie, he's like, don't ever show me that movie again. All right, fine. Then like 2 days later, he's like, Dad, can I watch Man of Steel again? I was like, are you sure? He goes, yeah, I think I'm ready for it now. I'm like, all right. So we watched it again. He's like, okay, I got this. Let's watch, you know, I think he thought Wonder Woman was next. But I'm like, no, we got to watch Batman versus Superman next. And he looked, I don't know why. He was like, yeah, I don't want to watch that. And then since then, we just haven't watched any more of the movies.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But he still wants to see Justice League. But I'm like, you have to see the movie that leads into Justice League. just like you have to see the movie that leads into Batman versus Superman. But he's like, he's all about going to see Ant-Man and the Wasp, so I gotta find someone to take him to see that crap.
I really liked the first one. I thought it was pretty funny.
I did not like Ant-Man. It's, you know what? It's the same thing with the Spencer Spider-Man book. I get that it was supposed to be funny, but I just didn't find it funny at all.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Are you reading the new Black Panther book?
No.
Dude, I don't know what the hell's going on in that book, to be honest with you, but it's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Who is writing that one?
Coates, Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Okay.
Except it's not regular Black Panther. It's Black Panther in space.
My goodness.
And also in the future.
As a joke, I was going to say, is it, you know, Space Panther, but...
It is. Yeah, and it's in the future, so this is like a Wakandan, like, intergalactic empire.
Okay.
And these, like, slaves revolted, and one of them goes by Black Panther. I don't know, it's really weird. Because there's, like, flashback panels in every issue of Black Panther and Storm, like, making out.
Like, okay.
So I don't know, like why that's in there.
No explanation, it's just, like, random.
No, there's no explanation. So I'm assuming, like, at some point we're going to know what the hell's really happening.
That maybe the two of them are, like, the Adam and Eve of this future Wakanda.
Or maybe they're, like, in the Matrix, you know? And none of this is actually happening. I don't know. But I'm really enjoying the book. I'm really enjoying the book quite a bit. It's very different. What would you say your favorite Marvel book's out right now?
Domino.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't even have to think about that one.
That's an interesting choice, Aaron Bell. Tell me more.
Well, first of all, the book is awesome. When Domino first showed up way back in whatever year, I guess New Mutants 98 was her first also, right? Or was she right before that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. I don't know why. I've always enjoyed the character. And then when I stopped reading Marvel stuff, I don't know if there's been any Domino stuff. I'm sure there has been in the past 20 years. But when I saw Gail Simone was writing the story, immediately I was like, you know what? Even if it was a character that wasn't a favorite of mine, she is a good writer, so I'm going to check it out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just forgot the guy's name that's doing the art. David Baldion or something?
Yes, yes, yes. Yep.
The book looks fantastic. And it's... I'm like 100% in on this story of, you know, basically her polar opposite, where, like, anytime anything good happens to her, something crappy happens to him. So I like, wherever this story goes, I'm in.
Yeah, I read the first issue and I enjoyed it, but I was like, I don't know if it's something I want to keep reading. So I quit. And then issue 4 came out, I guess, last week, and I read it and I loved it. So I went back and picked up 2 and 3 and read those. Yeah, it's really fun. And I'm with you, dude. I love Gail Simone.
Yeah.
That Plastic Man book she's doing is freaking amazing.
Yeah. Those two books are two of my favorites right now.
But, yeah, I think Domino's doing pretty well sales-wise, too, so I'm sure it'll stick around for a little bit.
Excellent, because I didn't know, like, a lot of the other books, I have no idea. I don't pay attention to solicits, so I don't know what's supposed to be an ongoing or what's solicited as being, like, a 4 or 6 issue series.
Mm-hmm.
I know Cable's supposed to be a mini, so then I was like, oh, I hope Domino or, you know, like, any of this other stuff, the New Mutants book and whatever, I hope they just keep going. But, yeah, this book, so good, man.
It's really good. And there's a lot that I shouldn't like about this.
Okay.
Because I don't like funny books.
You know what, though? I agree with you.
Like, I hate funny books because I'm a sad, sad person. And I just want everything that I read to be sad. That's not true. But I don't know. Like, I'm good with it in movies, right? Like, I love the Deadpool movies, but I just cannot read a Deadpool comic.
You know what, though? This Deadpool in the Domino series is the best Deadpool I've read in a very long time.
Yeah.
That, and, I mean, ever since Deadpool went, like, completely ludicrous, I've completely checked out on him.
Mm-hmm.
But
me too.
I mean, but like you said, I love the movies. But in the comic, I'm like, this is not what I want to read in a comic book. I don't mind. I'll sit there for an hour and a half and watch a silly movie, but I don't want to read him. But this Deadpool is great. And I think it's probably because Gail Simone knows I'm not going to make him completely over the top, but I have to make him a bit crazy.
Uh-huh. I want to read Deadpool Assassin.
That's the one that's starting soon, or it just started?
Yeah, I think it's like two or three issues in. It's Cullen Bunn writing it. So I want to check that out. I have not picked a single issue of it up, but I'm interested just because it's Cullen Bunn. And I think he would probably tone the humor down a bit. But going back to Domino, I think it's funny because, so I didn't read two or three, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try this book again. I picked it up. I was like, okay, this is a fun book. I'm in. And then Deadpool shows up and I'm like, God damn it. Like, why? But you're right. It was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't find it.
And Domino and Deadpool are kind of tied together.
Sure.
Sure.
So, I mean, even if he's not there at the beginning, you figure at some point he's going to show up for something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But in this, I like how he'll show up for like a little bit of a page and then he's gone.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, okay, I can deal with that. And then, oh, he popped up for two more panels over here. Okay, then he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, Domino's great. I know we kind of glossed over X-23, but I really like that first issue. I was reading All New Wolverine, so I've got a little more backstory than you do, but I don't think you need to really read that stuff in order to...
Yeah, I mean, I figure this first issue did explain it, sort of. Like, I figured... The way that it was written leads me to believe that they will give me all the information I'm going to need and not just sort of assume.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm also really digging Doctor Strange, which is kind of odd. I don't know if that's odd.
It's strange?
It is strange. I think Mark Waid's writing that, and the art is Jesus Saiz, who's freaking phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor Strange has been an interesting book. Actually, you know what? Doctor Strange is one of the few... Marvel books that I was reading when I was down to like almost nothing from Marvel. Who was doing it? Jason Aaron was doing Doctor Strange for a while with Butch Alato and art, and then Donnie Cates took over, and now Mark Waid is doing it, and it's Doctor Strange. Where?
In space. Of course.
but it's really fun, dude. Like, he's trying to find, because there's no more magic, right? That was this whole thing where like magic died. And so now he's trying to regain his abilities because there's no magic. So he's traveling throughout the universe in the spaceship with this other alien sorcerer girl who's freaking awesome and like trying to regain his power. And it's working out pretty well. I'm going to tell you, it's like X-Manowar with magic.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It sounds better than something I would have expected, but I'm still... Eh.
Yeah. Well, you know, the original joke of in space came when they announced Doctor Strange in space. So, I mean, there's that to its advantage. But yeah, I've been really surprised. I think because I had zero expectations that it would be a worthwhile read.
Right.
Maybe it made it seem better than it actually is, but I think it's been solid. It's like three issues in right now, and I'm really, really liking that book. Well worth checking out.
Yeah. I mean, that's, to be honest, a lot of the Marvel stuff that I kind of went back to. It's books that I really enjoyed when I was younger, and I went into it having literally zero expectation.
Yeah.
Like the New Mutants Dead Souls. I like just forgot the book. Four Kids Walk Into a Bank.
Yep.
I like the writer. So I'm like, all right, that's interesting, and I really like Adam Gorham. Not only do I like his art, I mean, he's like the nicest guy.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was like, okay, I'm going to check out – I mean, New Mutants was always my thing, so I'm going to check this book out. And I'm pleasantly surprised. And actually, I don't know if you're caught up on that one, if you're reading it.
Nope, I'm one issue behind.
Well, then I won't tell you what happens that relates to the conversation that we were just having.
Oh, dang it.
But yeah, like I'm really enjoying that book. And it's not a typical New Mutants book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still liking it. And I mean, also, look, you're going to give me Strong Guy. I'm cool. but it's the same thing. Like with the Cable book. You know, I think Ronnie probably told me about it. He's like, oh, you would like it because it's like sequel issues to old comics. So I was like, all right, well, you know, that how good can that possibly be? And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, this is actually, you know, pretty decent. And it's mm-hmm. the same thing with all of them, Multiple Man. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to like this that much. I know because, you know, it's not my, you know,
yeah.
It's not my Multiple Man. But then I read it, and I'm like, wow, this is really good. And Ronnie hates it because uh-huh. he's silly.
That's right.
But yeah, like I that book to me, it's the total vibe of Ivar Timewalker.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, at least this first issue where he, you know, the different versions of him popping up. But I like that first issue a lot. And I'm very curious to see where it goes.
So to me right now, the best Marvel book might be Immortal Hulk. Now, I don't know if you're reading Immortal Hulk, but it is fantastic.
No, I was never too into the Hulk either. I read the female Hulk from last year.
Yep, She-Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
That was a good book.
That was really good. Yeah, I don't know why. I just randomly, I was just like, people talk about how good this is. Let me check it out. And I enjoyed that a lot. So is she still in anything or is that over with for now?
What's she doing? That's a good question. She is doing something else right now, but I can't remember what it is. Immortal Hulk is really good though. It's written by Al Ewing. Artist Joe Bennett, which I don't know if you remember, Joe Bennett did an arc in X-Men: Manowar also. And it's a horror book, and it's really good. It's really good. Did you ever watch the live action TV series?
With
Bill Bixby and what's his face? Yeah.
Yes.
So the second issue has a villain from that TV series.
What?
Except made into a comic book villain. So he looks like the Floronic Man, kind of.
Huh.
But yeah, it's really good. Like, the Hulk is extremely smart in this book. He's kind of evil, but not really. Because he punishes evildoers. It's almost like, you know, the whole Ghost Rider thing, Spirit of Vengeance. It's kind of like that. So, Bruce Banner's hiding out because he doesn't want people to find him. But he sees, bad crap happening around him. And when he sees that, the Hulk takes over and avenges whatever that thing was.
Right.
It's really good. Really, really good.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to last, though. Because I think Al Ewing's going to DC, isn't he?
I think I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, he's doing the Legion of Superheroes.
I don't know if that's announced yet.
I don't think it has announced yet. Spoiler alert! You'll find out this weekend Al Ewing is doing Legion of Superheroes.
By the time this is released. Right? Because San Diego's starting...
I think Wednesday night is when it started.
Great. That means...
God, that's a long con,
dude. That means New York is going to add Wednesday now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine going to a convention for 5 days?
Listen, we usually... The only downside to skipping the Saturday is you miss a lot of cool panels.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Saturday in New York, we did it twice. And it is so ridiculously crowded and insane. We're like, no. We don't need to go every day. You know?
Yep.
We're good just not going into the city this one day. Thursday is great because you can walk the whole show floor and it's not that crowded. And then every other day you just hide out in Artist Alley or in panels.
The only long con I do is C2E2. And I'll go all 3 days. But it's the same thing too. Friday, you can just hang out, relax, talk to people. It's not very crowded. Saturday, you can't even walk in there. But Immortal Hulk, you got to check that out, dude. I promise you. You will love it.
Oh, my goodness.
You will love it. Are you a Prime subscriber?
Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
All right. So if you tie your Amazon account to your Comixology account, you get 15% off all new books. So instead of paying $3.99 for a book, you pay $3.39.
Yeah. And I may have done that.
Well, good. Do it. But yeah, catch up on Immortal Hulk. It's freaking fantastic. Do I want to talk about Cosmic Ghost Rider? I don't know, man.
See, that's another one. Ghost Rider, I have read one issue of Ghost Rider in my life. And the only reason I have read that one issue is because it was my cousin's birthday many years ago. And we were on the way to his house. And last minute, he was asking for some new comic book or something. And there was a comic shop in his town. And we went there, and sitting at the back table is the artist, Nelson, who used to do the painted covers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he did an issue of Ghost Rider, the cover. I want to say it was Ghost Rider 18 or something, maybe. And he was there. We my dad and I were literally the only people in the shop. So, I went over, and he signed a copy of the comic for me, and I bought the comic, and that's the only Ghost Rider that I've ever read.
Nice.
Yeah, with the exception of the weird Fantastic Four that Ghost Rider was in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cosmic Ghost Rider is interesting. I gotta say, I had zero expectations, but I think it has such a great like couple of opening pages that it kind of got me hooked. You know, because you get like the entire life story of Frank Castle in like 12 panels
of Frank Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read Cosmic Ghost Rider?
No.
Oh my God! All right, so I gotta fill you in. Frank Castle is the Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Now, is because it's Cosmic Ghost Rider, is it Ghost Rider in space? So is
yes.
this like
yes!
Frank Castle in space?
Yes, exactly that.
So, okay, let me just ask. Is every new Marvel book just like Marvel in space? Like, have we hit...
Yes!
We have hit now the fourth reboot of the Marvel Universe, so now everything has to be in space?
Yes, everything has to be in space because that's what makes it better.
It does not make anything better.
It makes it all better because all the space books are awesome.
It's all crazy.
Frank Castle in space. Yeah, it's really good. So the first like three pages, you get literally the entire story of Frank Castle from when his family died until Frank Castle becoming Cosmic Ghost Rider. And then he's got this whole interaction with Odin, and that's the reason he's alive again. He becomes Cosmic Ghost Rider, and he goes on a quest to kill Thanos, except he can travel through time. And so he goes, he's like, well, I'm not going to fight Thanos who's an adult. He's super powerful. I'm going to go find him when he's a kid. So he goes to his home planet, finds baby Thanos, and baby Thanos is a total douchebag. He gets punched in the face. Yes, there's baby punching in the face in this book. And then he's like, well, I can't kill him. He's a kid. He hasn't done anything bad. Cause, you know, he is the spirit of vengeance, and, you know, there's gotta be a reason why he kills.
Right.
And so he kind of goes off and other stuff happens.
Oh, that sounds completely insane.
Dude, it's freaking insane. I know you read God Country.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of it seemed to me like, you know, if the main character in that book was Frank Castle, then like this is a story that would happen.
Interesting.
Cause even the art looks very similar to God Country.
Hmm. Is it the same?
And I think,
well, because that was
him. It's Donny Cates.
Yeah. Is it the same artist?
Yeah. I did not look that up. I don't know, but it's definitely a similar art style.
Hmm.
And I think that's one thing that I'm really digging about Marvel now is they're bringing so much new talent in, and they're all like indie guys whose books I really dug, and they're doing their indie book thing with Marvel characters. Like to me, there's not really a huge Marvel book right now. Like maybe Avengers. And then when Fantastic Four comes out, I guess next month, from Dan, like those will be the big books. But everything else just feels a lot smaller. Not quite like indie small, but definitely a lot smaller on a smaller scale. And I like that. You know, not everything has to be about like, I mean, not to make the joke again, but not everything has to be about going to space and like fighting the big. Well, it does, but it doesn't have to be about like fighting the biggest bad guy. And then the next issue is a bigger bad guy than that. And then the next one's a bigger one than that. And then of course you have to have a big event because you have to have the biggest, baddest guy until next year when you have another one of these things. There's none of that, right? Like Secret Empire was an event, but it wasn't really an event. Like you didn't have to read a million books to read it.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that. I mean, aside from Marvel's failings over the last few years, I think Marvel's in a pretty good place right now, and I'm really enjoying the majority of the line.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's just some characters I just never could get into, but I mean, I was always into the mutant books, and there's, I mean, geez, we were talking at least 6-7 of them that I'm reading. I mean, if they could get me back into reading Marvel stuff on a regular basis, then I mean, obviously, I'll probably check out Cosmic Ghost Rider. Just I think that's only going to be a mini, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's 4 or 5 issues.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I could waste 4 issues on a book.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I got to go back and read like 60 issues or something.
Uh-huh.
But I got to tell you, when I lost my internet for a couple of days after the power surge, like the blackout and then the power surge that completely screwed my Fios box, I read so many comics. I mean, my kids were going insane, but my wife and I mean, we grew up without internet, so I didn't care that I didn't have the internet. So it was just I'm just going to sit down and read, literally, because one of the days was my day off last week. So I got up, I took my kids to camp, I came home, I'm like, guess I'm just going to sit and read all day. And I think I told Ryan I read like 62 comics.
Hell yes.
I'm just like,
that's the way to do it.
I haven't done this in forever.
Dude, but don't you feel like you accomplished a lot though when you did that?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I was telling Nick, because Nick and I talked about this on Nerd Legion like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. Because he's like, how are you finding time to read like 20 books a week, 25 books a week? And it's just, it's almost that thing, right? Like kind of forcing it on myself. Like just don't watch every freaking new comic book TV show that comes out and binge watch all 12 episodes. You know, like watch one and wait a few days and watch the next one. But to like just carve out some time to read comics. And God, it's so freaking good. It's so rewarding. Good stuff, Aaron Bell.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we should wrap it up.
Sure.
This might be the longest Comic Talk Today episode of all time.
I doubt it. I'm looking at the timer. It only says 3 hours and 26 minutes. This is the shortest Geek Brunch retrocast.
That's very true. I don't think they've ever had an episode that's like shorter than 2 hours.
That's why I loved their old podcasts. Like when I would be able to listen at work and like one episode would take up like 90% of my day.
Hell yeah.
Like, oh, this is so good.
Hell yeah. That's what Mike tweeted out today. Like, how often should the Geek Brunch feed be updated? And I was like, every day. Cause you know, like I do this show the last few weeks has been like almost every day. And it's not like, because I just want to do more shows. It's because, like, I love comics enough that I want to talk about them all the time.
Right.
But, like, I feel the same way with Mike. You know, like, when Mike puts out an episode, he's so passionate about comics that I don't mind when it's, like, a four-hour episode.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of guys will, like, break it down to, like, 3 or 4 episodes or whatever and put it out in a couple weeks. Like, he's just like, bam, here's 4 hours. Do whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hell yeah, you know, because I'm at work, like, 10 hours a day. That kills half my day.
Yep.
So, Mike, you should do 4-hour podcasts every single day.
Absolutely. And like like you said also, I love his enthusiasm over the stuff. That there could be a book that I would read and I like just absolutely freaking hated every bit of it. The art was bad. The writing was bad. Like the characters weren't themselves. Just like everything in the book was terrible. And he would read the same book and find that one thing and like just talk about like one little panel for like 15 minutes about why it's great. And then I'd go back and read the book, and I'm like, you know what? I think Mike is right. This is pretty good.
Yep. It's all in the approach, dude. Yeah. You know, if you come in hating something and you say how much you hate something, then people will hate it too.
Yeah.
Except us in our Discord chat. When you and Ronnie hate on everything, we're like, yes, we'll buy 2 copies. Anyways, let's wrap it up. Aaron Bell can be found on Twitter at Aaron S. Bell, and of course on the Absolute DC podcast with Ronnie Barron. You guys have been doing some really good episodes lately, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out publicly.
The episode that came out, I guess, a couple hours before this episode could very well be our greatest episode yet.
Good. I'm glad that I already listened to it.
Yeah.
In the future.
And you can agree that it's right up there with our best.
It was fantastic. I loved everything about it. Everything about it. If you want to check that out, of course, you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or you can go to nerdylegion.com/podcast/absolutedc. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at GeekVine. Email is nerdylegion@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back when this is coming out, Friday. I'll be back Monday. Damn it. We need to figure this whole time travel thing out.
Today is Thursday.
Thanks for listening. That's right. Today is Sunday. I don't know what day it is. Thanks for listening. Catch you then.